Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks, ladies, for being here. As I was saying,
This morning, Zuccotti Park got a clean bill of health, and nobody accosted them. So they're still there. And here's a wonderful thing I learned early. Rachel Maddow stepped out of the corporate pants and into her jeans again and was down there at about 5 a.m. In solidarity. And she was told that the evacuation was not going to happen, which is really great. Zuccotti Park remains the uncontested domain of Occupy Wall Street. So there we are. This is sponsored by Roundtree77numeral.com, a great place. And the people who come to you over the airwaves here, myself, Jack Jodell, P.E. Nolan or Tricia Poole, and David Williams, and sometimes also and the rest of us are all writers over at Roundtree 7. We are all broadcasting in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. And the writers are the hosts for the show. Mainly it's been me this week. We also have Dusty Taylor, who's here on Tuesdays. So you can find a lot here. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry. This is an official boycott of the mainstream media. The challenge right now is to calmly and smoothly as possible bring knowledge to the social consciousness in reporting as much as the social net feed and other news items will bring us to give to you during this. Well, we're going to try and stay here for an hour. If you all call in, we'll be here for as long as we can be. I do want to pay attention to and bring solidarity to Diane G. at Wild Left Radio. And I also want to acknowledge the other Roundtree 7 writer who's in the chat room today, Mike Stimson. I will be reading a piece that Stimson posted today on Roundtree 7, and I think I'm going to begin to do some of that regularly so that I can share the illumination from Roundtree 7 with y'all, whoever's listening. I do have some announcements from Occupy Wall Street. There is a schedule for tomorrow, and we're coming up on tomorrow. Tomorrow is a big day. First of all, the biggest part of tomorrow is that it is Commander Krell's birthday. So happy birthday to David Williams already today. We'll get into it tomorrow, too, whomever is at the mic, perhaps me, perhaps someone else. Tomorrow, Occupy Wall Street has a schedule. At 11 a.m., they're marching to Wall Street. And at 12 noon, there is a lot of stuff going on at Washington Square Park. If you live in New York City, or if you're going to be going there as your pilgrimage to Occupy, however you get there, this is what's going on. At 5 p.m., there is going to be a great meeting in Times Square of everyone. That won't be all the Occupy, because they do have to occupy Wall Street at Zuccotti Park, or Liberty Plaza, as it's been come to be called. But Times Square is a big meetup place tomorrow at 5 p.m. So be there or be square, you know? Okay, that was lame, but at least I'm trying here. Okay. We have, I'm looking for the rest of when I, oh, okay. Something that Dusty Taylor has been emailing and talking to me about, and I myself have been watching happen here locally. We have a meeting at Occupy Lake Worth tomorrow in Bryant Park at 10 a.m. That's 10 a.m. at Bryant Park, which is right down the street from me here. It's the Lake Avenue and just before the bridge to the beach, or A1A. So anyone from the Palm Beach County area that is listening in, Occupy Lake Worth and that / Palm Beach County. I guess we got the biggest group going. There is a meeting tomorrow again at 10 a.m., so please come down, be there. Before I read Mike Stimson's post over at Round Tree 7, we have a really great piece of a clip of a show from, actually it was last weekend, but it hasn't made the rounds too much, and it's really quite good. Dusty loaded it up for us, and it's Naomi Klein, my favorite Canadian besides Too Cool Stimson, going at it with Van Jones on the Chris Hayes Up show, which plays basically, I think, Sunday and Saturday mornings. It's on really early. I couldn't tell you what time. It's on the MSNBC corporate channel. And this is supposed to be really good. Take a listen. Take a listen here.
The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions, forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear.
We cut that clip right in an opportune moment since we are on one of those big media companies. George Carlin from the film Life is Worth Losing says most media are controlled. He says all politicians are there to give you an illusion of choice. And the reason I wanted to play that clip, we played this because I was down talking to people in Occupy Wall Street, and you heard this same kind of thing again and again, rejecting party affiliation, rejecting partisan identity, even rejecting ideological affiliation, left or right. I talked to a guy on Thursday, I guess, a guy named Andy Smith, and I want to play you what he said to me down there.
Because he said we're not right and left. It's not right and left.
We're up and down. And I know that's a really, that can be scary for some people to hear. Like, I realize that.
It's about class. It's not about political parties. Class is a divide. And people can unite around class. They can't unite around political parties or race or religion. Easy unite.
I worry about, and I pressed him, we had a good conversation about this, that you end up in a place of sort of political nihilism in this respect, which is if you say they're all the same, and you hear this is a very familiar American attitude. I mean, you hear this all the time from the disaffected, from independents. They're all the same. They're all corrupt. They're all bought and paid for. And you hear a lot of that down on Wall Street. And I wonder whether that is that does let people off the hook precisely.
But the thing is, when you get I have a second grader, and you know when he gets his report card, there's a reality to it. Now he may know the teacher doesn't like me. No, hold on a second. Both parties, in the face of the biggest economic catastrophe since the Great Depression, have failed to respond effectively. The Democrats had 60 votes in the Senate, Obama the president, and the best speaker ever, Pelosi, running the House, and they were unable to respond effectively. Now we're in a situation where we had a change election. I think we have to take seriously the fact that something is wrong. D.C. is off the rails. D.C. has been stuck on stupid for months now as the pain threshold's gotten worse. That's not nihilism. That's pain.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for 1 second though, right? Which is that they passed an $800 billion Recovery Act,
which should have been twice as big.
Which should have been twice as big, but was also larger in real terms than anything passed during the Great Depression as a single act of Congress. They passed Dodd-Frank, which there are all sorts of problems with Dodd-Frank, which is the financial reform bill, but they fought tooth and nail to try to get that passed. I mean, the path of least resistance for the White House would have been to do nothing, right? They did try to do something with Dodd-Frank. They passed health care, which this litany is familiar, but I want to lay it out. Because they passed health care, which, again, the path of least resistance would have been not to pass health care, just leave it alone. But they fought and they fought, and they took huge political losses, expended a tremendous amount of political capital for this bill. So it seems to me if you say, well, they're both...
But let me tell you what they didn't do. Here's what they didn't do. and this is something I think Naomi was trying to say earlier, and I would like to underscore, we didn't mobilize the people. There was a lot of subcommittee stuff. There was a lot of inside the Beltway baseball talk and public option, that kind of stuff. But what makes a difference in America is what you're seeing right now. When the people are given the idea that their participation, their demonstration, the visible support, we spent 2.5 years where the only people who marched and protested in America were the right wing.
Right.
And guess what? It turns out, as the Tea Party proved, and as these young people and struggling folks on Wall Street are proving, public demonstration matters. And there was a sense from the administration, from the D.C. Democrats, that you need to sit down, shut up, and we will deal with it. And I think that it turned out that was wrong. And so I think that's important.
I cut you off, Naomi. Sorry.
No, I think that what people are rejecting there is the idea that they're just kind of the street heat for the Democratic Party, right? And they're just there to kind of make Obama do it, because it's a deeper structural critique. And I think what's best and most fun and most refreshing about hanging out at Occupy Wall Street, and
are
I don't know,
are the drone circles and free hugs.
Yeah.
But aside from that.
So many hugs. So much tofu.
The Women's Committee issued a statement that said to the guys at Occupy Wall Street, not everyone wants that.
That is awesome. That's a great. But the thing that's fun about being down there
is that they're not talking about big P politics inside baseball, the election campaign, because I think the problem, and thinking about how what they're doing is going to affect 2012, they're focusing on the issues.
It's our job.
And they're focusing, it isn't your only job, though.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And I think this country is more obsessed with electoral politics than any other in the world, I believe. And it is corrupting and corrosive. Mm. To the building of social movements, because what happens is every 2 years, whatever independent movements are being built, whether it's about climate change, whether it's about the war, whether it's about inequality, gets completely funneled into let's get the Democrats elected. And I think what's interesting about this moment is people are talking about, okay, what is structurally wrong? And so they're talking about money in politics, and they're talking about Citizens United, and they're talking about the idea that corporations have the same status as people. And so what is structurally wrong? And that's very exciting.
Yeah.
So I think the concern is the idea that okay, we're just gonna be the sort of angry arm of the Democratic Party, and you can just turn this outrage into some very reformist pieces of legislation, whereas they actually want to get at the core of it. Why is it broken? And that's what's exciting.
I agree with that. I would note that the anger on the right was channeled into electoral channels, and it was extremely effective the way they channeled those electoral factors. They primaried a bunch of folks. They knocked off these incumbent Republicans.
Do these guys sound like political hacks to you? I mean, they do to me. And case to point, Naomi Klein is making the deeper structural critique there, whereas Van Jones and Chris Hayes are totally missing the freaking point. But, of course, Van Jones is trying very hard to actually to co-opt it, to channel this energy for what he thinks is a good purpose. Well, that's not how Occupy Wall Street is seeing it. I do want to bring attention to the blog that I spoke of earlier, and this is entitled "The Cynical Journos Take Aim at Occupy Wall Street, but they miss by a mile." And this is by Mike Stimson over at Roundtree 7, and that's the number 7.com. And I'll just go into it and give you a readout of it. We all know how the Tea Party rallies were AstroTurf more than grassroots. Corporate-funded Dick Army groups did much of the organizing, and the Koch brothers poured lots of money into them. Tea baggers can sputter on about how it ain't true, but it is. In the minds of shallow mainstream journalists, then, Occupy Wall Street movement must also be phony. They're just the other side of the coin, right? Right? And that's a question. Well, no. wrong, as far as I can tell. No evidence. But the lack of evidence doesn't stop some journals from following their lazy, cynical impulses and trying to tar OWS with the pernicious, all-the-same brush. Enter Thomson Reuters, smug and defiant. On Thursday, it posted a story headlined, "Who's Behind the Wall Street Protests?" that asserted indirect financial links tying billionaire George Soros and the Occupy crowd. You see, Soros gave money to an organization that gave money to Adbusters, which instigated the protests. Ergo, Occupy is a marionette controlled by Soros. Yeah, it don't even look like that, do it, folks? A little commentary from the blender on the side there. Sorry, Mike. Back to the story. Reuters backed up their story by quoting Rush Limbaugh seriously. Scratching head now. The, quote, indirect financial links, unquote, part of Thursday's story is risible. As a Reuters employee pointed out in his blog, he could not, by the same logic, be called a Mitt Romney donor by virtue of having a Citibank account. By quoting Limbaugh, the Reuters reporter signaled to every reader where they're coming from, ideologically speaking, remarked that critical Reuters employee, quote, Reuters cannot, must not, get a reputation as a right-wing media outlet. We have to report the news as impartially as we can. In this case, there was no story and nothing to report, inventing a tenuous and intellectually dishonest link between Soros and OWS might get us traffic from Matt Drudge, but that's traffic which, frankly, we don't particularly value or care for, quote, unquote, sorry. Reuters has since semi-corrected its ridiculous Thursday story, though some, myself included, would say they haven't done enough to make things right. As one media observer succinctly put it, the attempted smear of OWS was pathetic. And that's a piece that was written by Mike Stimson. And it tells you that people are right now trying very hard to basically to smear the campaign, to bring it down, you know, whatever they can do. But the larger point here is that they are unable to do it. It's not working. Every time they seriously take aim at any one of the groups, and you can find out how many there are. As of today, there are over 1,700 groups worldwide that are Occupy in some city. And all of those groups are basically getting ready for tomorrow's big, and that's our other story today, other big entry, which is a Occupy movement that spreads globally. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, 813. You called in?
Yes, this is Anita. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Anita. Sorry, I should have recognized your... how is Occupy Tampa going?
Well, I've had a bad cold, so my voice has probably changed a little bit. And I can't stay on too long because I've got to actually head down there. I'm supposed to be in a transition... open conversation event down in Ybor City. Come to find out, and how serendipitous is this, that we have several people right in our local area that would like to start a transition town. So while I'm down in Tampa, I'm probably going to ride over to the site, which, of course, Occupy Tampa has had to move from the park, and they're on the sidewalk near the Children's Museum, right smack dab in the middle of downtown Tampa. And this morning they were told by the police that they needed to remove all tents and supplies, et cetera, which they have complied with. But they had a general assembly afterwards, and all agreed that they were not leaving the sidewalk. So now people are coming in from everywhere to support them for the weekend. And, of course, the big event is planned tomorrow. So I'm going to be in transition training for the, you know, for the entire weekend. But I will be going down there when the training is done tomorrow to take pictures, blog, talk to people. And you'll no doubt, well, basically just, you know, why they're there, why they, you know, why they want to, why do they believe in the movement, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll definitely be putting some information up on the blogs tomorrow when I get in, tomorrow night. So it's a rapidly... Yeah, it's definitely a rapidly... changing, very fluid type situation. And you just, I really believe that since so many of these movements across the United States have had trouble today, it's almost like the police are afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Like they don't want the numbers to show up.
Right. And that, I would, you're very fortuitous with your call, because I was just getting ready to actually post or to talk about this. Tomorrow's a global day of Occupy Global, Occupy the World.
Right, right. And the cops, I know the cops in Denver, I watched it on the live feed last night, showed up at the overnight encampment and arrested people, caused some of them to disperse, and then took their equipment and tents and belongings, and they had big dumpsters there, so they just threw all that crap away. So
I'll tell you, I'm reading in the in the chat room, that you're familiar with the chat room, Sandy White from our crowd over at Journey is saying good luck to you all in Tampa. And she says it's unfortunate today that the first time MSNBC has had a story that included violence from Occupy Wall Street of protesters bottle throwing. I didn't realize there was one. I've been very busy today, and I didn't get much news. I looked for what was on the feeds today.
That just sounds like agent provocateurs, because you know, the movement is pretty solid about being a nonviolent movement. You know.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, and check your sources there too. I mean, it's MSNBC. Every time I go, the only show I really watch anymore is Rachel Maddow. And when I do, or if I even if I go to watch her online, I have to sit through freaking BP commercials that incense me, you know? So
yeah.
it's kind of, you know, I will say this with clarity, because there's been news out on the Twitter feed and such, that basically, and one of the people who was at Zuccotti Park or Liberty Plaza this morning at 5 a.m. was Rachel Maddow. And I have been, and my best feed for the Global Revolution, the live feed of Occupy Wall Street, which I get every morning and stay with New York all day mostly until I'm doing this. My best feed today has been going over to P.E. Nolan's page on Facebook, and it just comes up real clearly. And, oh, my God, what wonderful music I have been listening to all day long from Liberty Plaza on Occupy Wall Street. I got to tell you, the musicians are there. I keep wondering when Joni Mitchell's going to show up. You know, Anita?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Joni Mitchell, of course. I've been for years. But, you know, That would be great to see somebody like her show up. But, of course, she's Canadian, you know, but I'm sure she'll show up at a Canadian event before she comes to the U.S. But
Anita, but yeah. I would say to that about her being a Canadian, I think she's more half and half. But it was out of Vancouver and the Canadian side that all of this.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where she lives near there, so, you know. But what about Joan Baez and all these other people? I mean, I'd like to see Joan Baez with just a guitar, just serenading. I know Michael Franti was at the Occupy Wall Street last week, so he definitely went down there and gave them a song or two, because that's on YouTube. So I've been checking all that out and doing all kinds of different searches and stuff like that. Right now, I know Occupy Tampa is going to be seeking some legal counsel about what happened today, because as far as I know, the sidewalks belong to the people, you know, and
well,
they cannot tell you to not be there.
Anita, I would put out a great big call for, even though I know he's up watching his Red Sox in Boston, I would put out a great big call for Stephen and Tabitha King. I would say, we need you, get down here. I mean, they demonstrated the last time. What was it we were all upset about and demonstrating over? I don't remember, but before Occupy, it was like 5 or 6 months ago. But Stephen and Tabitha King will come. Uh-huh. I bet you they're 100% behind all of this, and their large home is right there near you.
Oh, I don't even know. Fill me in on who these people are.
Stephen King.
Stephen King. Oh, okay, gotcha. He's down in Sarasota, from what I understand.
Yes, but
he'll make
the journey. Believe me, he'll make the journey. Put the call out, you know. Do the drum
beat.
Yeah. Because,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you put out the call for Stephen King and tweet his daughter. His daughter is Reverend Naomi King in Florida, down here in my neighborhood, South Florida. Tweet her. We need your father, you know, to come and do some solidarity. You know, it's about solidarity. I'm not beyond saying, hey, come here. You know what I mean? Ask for what she needs.
Yeah, exactly.
With his presence there, I got a feeling the tents would be back.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they would. Yeah. Oh,
God. He did there was a YouTube film of him going around, and it was his daughter who got him involved. She brought him and her mother to one of the demonstrations, and he said he would rather be taxed, you know, more. And this guy's worth billions. But he showed up at a local event in Tampa to be, you know, YouTube.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah, he's been seen, you know, there's been like Stephen King sightings at different places and different times. And, you know, people always write about it, or, you know, they'll Facebook the information or whatever. But usually it's like after. And you know, he really does move through the bookstores and stuff in, you know, real anonymity, too. People don't know who he is because he's usually wearing a hat and glasses, and nobody knows. So,
yeah.
Let me get off this. Go ahead.
Well, good luck at Occupy Tampa tomorrow. I'll be thinking about you. We have Occupy Lake Worth going on down here. So good luck, and keep us posted, okay, Anita?
Yeah, this is just such an exciting time. I mean, I just can't tell you how exciting all of this is, and it really does just give me hope for the future. And I'm just, you know, I just want to ride with it and do whatever I can to help. That's all. And spread the word.
I feel exactly the same way. I mean, I reach for a lot of what I say on air just to stay on air. But I have to tell you, there's nothing that could keep me from doing it because basically, I mean, it's just my little light, you know, this little light of mine type of thing.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled that finally, I really just do believe that most of this is already the global shift in consciousness, you know, for 2012. We were talking about that a little bit this morning at our transition gathering that, you know, people are starting to shift their thinking into different ways, and maybe this 2012, which so many people have been led to believe is going to be a real malefic thing. You know, it's kind of like that sign. It's what you feed, and it's what you it's how you direct the energy. You know, like the beginning is here, instead of the end is near. You know,
It's a positive. It's definitely a positive. And no matter what, the beachhead has been established. It's standing. It's just standing the ground now, and being one. And groups all over the place. It takes a few weeks to get, I guess it takes a couple of weeks for all the new groups to get together to form, have a few meetings on the weekend and decide to where they're going to go and occupy and get it done, but people are doing it. And tomorrow is Occupy the World. It's global, what they're calling for is the global revolution, but peacefully. So it's I can't think of a better birthday present for David Williams, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This is just something, and I'm just happy. In fact, when it happened on September 17th, I was just dancing around. My poor partner Leon, he didn't know what to think. I was going, the revolution has begun, and I was dancing around the house, and he's going, okay, she's finally flipped. She's finally flipped out.
Well, so. You know, they said on basically, and I've opened the 212 line. So if that's,
oh, that's
you,
me.
Yeah, you're
that's
you're
me.
Hot. You're live.
Do what, buddy? What?
Well, I got to tell you guys, I heard last night on Keith Olbermann that the consensus and the polling that they've done around the country on this Occupy movement whole business, as they say, it's 80% of the people polled were aware of it, and over 50% of the people that they did poll were in favor of it. That's
yay!
Striking. That's striking. It's really quite striking.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, I'm.
Well,
I'm
listen,
surprised.
Let
yeah,
me
I'm
go
glad
because
80%.
I've got to get ready, so I'm gonna hang up now. But I'll give you some information tomorrow about what's happening down at Occupy Tampa, and I'm just so excited. And I'm just gonna push forward and just go with the flow, and I'm just loving every minute of this. So, blessings to both of you and.
Honey, go for it. We're all together in this one.
That's right. All right, over and out, everybody. Bye.
Have fun.
Bye, night. Tricia Poole.
Well, howdy do.
How
are
you?
Everything's. I'm just in like my Friday zone, so I'm a little like just in the Friday zone, but. It's been a busy few days up here, and you know, I haven't been downtown. I've just been working and stuff, but you know, I was up at the crack of dawn, looking at everything. Just you know, and I'm happy to say that Dennis Traynor had gone down. Dennis Traynor had come up from D.C. And Lee Camp was down there this morning, too, and so that was where I was getting some of my information from their Twitter feed. And I can't remember the young woman's name who's a writer for the Village Voice was there. But it was, you know, it was a great morning. I just have to say it was a great morning for the occupation. And, you know,
I'm so happy to hear. I actually went to sleep last night thinking, you know, sending light, putting good thoughts towards it, because having someone say, all of the news people were saying, you know, that's it, they're going to come in the morning. And even I have to give kudos to Rachel Maddow, which I don't do very often anymore. She stepped out of corporate this morning, and she got her ass at 5 a.m. down to Zuccotti Park.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know what her challenges are, you know, but it's good she was there. And it's like, you know, I'm one of those that are like, as long as you're, you know, as long as you're walking the walk and are true to the way of being of the General Assembly, so that your voice counts as one equal, you know, I mean, come on down, just like Bob Barker used to say, come on down. The more the merrier. Let's walk the walk, and I hope, you know, I hope the whole thing just gets bigger and bigger and more and more wonderful. I mean, tomorrow is, you know, with Occupy, P-I-E, because they're, you know, so much of the occupation is about pizza, that, you know, Occupy tomorrow at Times Square at the, there's a Army recruitment, a military recruitment office smack dab in the middle of Times Square, and that's where everybody's headed.
Yeah.
Because,
oh, you're kidding.
No, everybody's headed to the Army recruitment station because the Pentagon has, the people deserve at least as much money as the Pentagon here.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's what they were saying on their little Facebook page for the event. Occupy Wall Street scheduled the event. There's a Facebook page with the details on the Occupy, P-I-E, at Times Square, and that's scheduled to go on all night. They were going to do the march over there and then hang out. So that should be fun. Hopefully I'll make it to that. I have some other commitments tomorrow, but that'll be fun. And then, like you're saying, it's the whole day. And tonight's an overnight. It's a family overnight. They've invited families down. It's just really a cool thing. And I'm just glad that, you know, Bloomberg's and his girlfriend backed off, because I still can't get over that Bloomberg's girlfriend is up to her ass involved in Zuccotti Park, the developers who own it. And anyway, you know, it just makes me wonder what they were talking about last night, since petitions with 300,000 signatures were delivered to Bloomberg at his dinner at Cipriani. So, talk about 1%. I mean, he's like, Bloomberg is the richest man in New York City. I was reading recently that he's like of the 1%, he's like in the top 1% of the 1% of the whole world because of he's Bloomberg. And, you know, anyway, I'm just glad he backed down today. And, you know, everybody knows he's wily and whatever, and this is not the end of it. But I do think that since the cops in D.C. were able to come to an arrangement with the occupation in D.C. so that they are, you know, clear, you know, good for 4 months before anybody gives them trouble, I don't see why we can't be as, you know, why New York City should be any less sensible than Washington, D.C. But, you know, those white shirts always get out of hand on the weekend. You know,
that's
the white shirts get out of hand on
the
weekend. The
weekends come along and things get strange. It's quite true, but this,
you know, I don't understand. I don't know enough about it to know if there's somebody that's the weekend supervisor that's just apeshit, or if they're trying to avoid news cycle stuff because people don't watch the news as much on the week. You know, like if they're trying to sneak under the radar because, you know, network news isn't as. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what their deal is, but. You know, this morning, white shirts drove mopeds into the crowd and busted somebody's knee.
Who did?
I mean, the cops did this morning. It's like after people were after the news came out that the cleaning had been postponed. There was a General Assembly meeting, and some folks wanted to go march for on Wall Street right then, since the unions had come out to back them up, and there were somewhere around 3,000 people. And so I think they were – I'm not sure where they were headed precisely or what streets they were on, but a number of people had already had – you know, there's a lot of push brooms and everything around the park because they've been cleaning it up the whole time anyhow. And so people had taken their brooms and things and were off to go clean up Wall Street. And so many people, I don't know how many, were marching. And the cops barricaded off the streets. I was watching this on the live feed. And there was like a little line of cops on mopeds. And they drove right into the crowd. They drove right
That's
into the crowd.
Right.
No, it was fucking wrong. And then, of course, the live feed went out. Somebody, you know, I don't know if somebody bumped the live feed camera and the battery fell out or whatever, but the whole thing went like boom. And so I don't. That's all
happened
I know. That happened this morning around 10 to 7. You know, and so, and I think there were only maybe 5 or 6 arrests this morning. It wasn't a big deal today. And, you know, the occupation, people are saying late last night this decision was made, but the thinking on this street is that the cleanup crew got there and saw 3,000 people and just said, oh, to hell with this. We're not even doing it. So when they can't get their workers to do their work, then they had to come up and say something. But, you know, they really might have backed down. It's because Bloomberg's girlfriend had wanted them to, you know, they were Zuccotti Park, wanted everybody arrested.
Well, that's when the bottle throwing took place, Sandy said.
You know, I don't know anything about bottle throwing, and I would have to say here that that is all – just remember what happened at the Smithsonian. Okay, when it got violent at the Smithsonian, it was because of a conservative columnist.
Yes.
It provoked his own stuff. The conservative guy got in the police in the security's face and provoked almost the entire incident.
Apparently,
so,
since provocateur for Occupy Wall Street are a little smarter than the ones for D.C. They're keeping their mouths shut, as they should. So,
yeah, well, you know, and would be my first guess because, you know, I mean, I've been down there enough times to know the people that are there day in and day out are not even smoking weed because the cops
don't
are ready to arrest them.
It, yeah.
No, they're not upsetting the apple cart. This is too delicate right now, you know, and it's not a bunch of hot-headed young people either. I mean, these are nobody. I mean, that's not to say that people don't get, you know, overwhelmed and intense or whatever, and things accidents don't happen like that because they do. But I just really would go with the agent provocateur, you know. I hate to say French because from Texas, you know how I sound. But anyhow, but like some asshole that's trying to stir things up, I can say that. And, yeah, that's stirring it up for the other. You know, I mean, and also, I mean, good Lord, how many Rupert Murdochs are running around New York City, for Christ's sakes? And like Mike was saying about Reuters trying to tie Soros to all of this, as if, you know, I mean, this is just ridiculous. It is ridiculous what the media is trying to do. And, you know, there are people that want to they'll pay for
Mike.
That.
I read Mike's post about that today. And Sandy is saying, Sandy, I know you're listening. She's been typing while you've been talking, and I want to make something clear to Sandy, too. She's saying that it's violence trying to make from the other side, and people in the Journey Room naysayed her petitions. So I posted phone numbers for the mayor and the CEO of the company who owns the park, And you know what, Sandy? Great job. Good work. Please.
Well, and I have to say, regarding the petitions,
I just want to make sure she knows that she is supported by the Roundtree writers. Not everybody in the Roundtree journey with Roundtree 7 is a writer on the blog. It's just the blog's room on Facebook.
Well,
all the people are pretty nice in there.
Well, excellent point, because I signed the petition. Okay.
I've been so busy, I haven't been looking much.
No, I signed it, and you know, Sandy was up there, and I saw the thing, and I was like, oh, you know how it is. Some days you can't deal with that bullshit, you know. And I mean, I understand that a lot of people think it doesn't, that petitions don't work, and there's no reason to go there and whatever. But
no, you know what's wrong with petitions, Tricia? The problem with petitions is that Credo and I'm going to talk moveon.org. They do a lot of petitions that the politicians no longer pay attention to, really, for the most part. And what they do is it's just a new way for solicitation of funds to a certain degree. So when people see petitions anymore, they don't take them as seriously as they used to, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And typically, especially Move On, it uses everything for a fundraising opportunity. But I have to say, the last couple of days, they're all about Wall Street and are backing off on that. So I think that they're taking the accusations of being co-opters to heart. But I mean, who knows where it goes, because they're established.
Well, they have backed off down here. They're still, you know, kind of crawling all over everybody down here, which is, you know, as it's going to be. And I posted a thing on my own Occupy page saying that, you know, there are lots of local Democrats and Move On people who have genuinely good intentions, but they don't realize that if you're staying with the standard set by Occupy Wall Street and the General Assembly, this is a nonpartisan, nonpolitical stance, and it's about the grievances. They will make demands when they figure they should, but right now it's about creating anchors all across the world as of tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day, Pete.
And what you're saying is so valid. It's like right now, this is not about any of that political, partisan political stuff, because that's what got us in this problem, part of the issue in the
first absolutely
place.
No,
you know,
Republican
and it's like
crap.
Well, you know, it's like. I've been looking at, like, every now and then you hear this, like, Bill Clinton, I think it's Bill Clinton's birthday tomorrow, or maybe it's, wait, it's 10 years of whatever his global bullshit, the Bill Clinton mobile, all right, you know, and I was thinking of, like, well, and he was saying Bill Clinton was just, like, stepping over onto this corporations or the problem in his talk, and it was, like, now there's
one
man. You know, that I would just really be, I mean, like, because, you know, we wouldn't be in, like, Reagan may have initiated that deregulation of the media.
He enabled
it,
I agree. He has a lot of fucking gall, doesn't he?
He has a lot of fucking gall.
His wife's got a lot of fucking gall right now with what she's doing with Tar Sands Project.
Yeah, no fucking shit.
And
let's not even go to this bogus crap about the, you know, the drug cartels and the assassination. All right, let's not even go with Hillary Clinton. All right, but so don't be talking to me about partisan. I mean, that's huh? The point is, I was listening very closely to what Bill Clinton was saying to wait to see if he's jumping on this bandwagon, and he is not. Okay, there's distance there, and you know. But I was thinking about other people like Move On, for example, moving in, and I think it's right to be suspicious of everyone's motives, not just because of co-opting, but because of the bottle throwing and things and those sorts of incidents and these people that are infiltrators.
the agent provocateur. I understand. But it's also important to keep in mind, too, when you're part of the group, that you have to basically remember that there are a lot of really good-hearted people that are maybe your local councilman who is a Democrat or a city commissioner who's a Democrat that wants to step up and say, hey, I'm with you. I'm for you. And that's great. And people like that should be embraced, but they should also realize that it's nonpartisan. It's not about politicking. And that's where people like Van Jones and his contract and people coming in, here, do you want this Van Jones Build a Dream contract? Soliciting that way is no good. It's called co-opting, and it really is.
Well, he's, I just think everybody's right to be skeptical and of motives like that. But I really do have such faith in the General Assembly. I really just do that. Like whatever happens, and whoever's there or whoever approaches them, they really do talk it out. Like this morning, I was watching, and as they on the live feed, the Emergency General Assembly meeting, and they. It was being led by a young woman who was 20-something and just stood up and said, okay, some people are saying they want to go do, I couldn't really hear what they were wanting to do, but they took a show of hands. They had to shout out the circle like 3 and 4 times because so everybody could hear. And they really, whoever's there, they pull the delegation. They reach a consensus. They talk about it. They do it. And they're smart and they're good.
What the people generally need to know, and it's the information we need to keep reiterating and putting out there, is that the General Assembly at Occupy Wall Street is doing things nonpartisan, nonpolitically, and reaching goals by consensus. And that politicians don't understand and always step on. So you really do have to watch out. You really do have to figure it out from that perspective.
Well, and there, I mean, it's, well, I was looking, thinking about it this morning, just in terms of, well, consciousness shift and a patriarchal way of being versus a matriarchal way of being, and consensus versus competition, and might makes right, which is so dominant in the way we do things, which it's a patriarchal way of doing things, and something that's much more organic, that is more earth-centered, you know, just more grounded in I can't think of a better word right now than earthiness, but it's this thing about matriarchal way of being versus patriarchal way of being, and how is that shifting, and how are, you know, just the... There's always a lot of posturing, and I don't think it's a gender specific thing, but down in Liberty Plaza, it's just really cool. It's not, you know, and I'm not naive, you know. I mean, I'm not naive, and I'm not high, and I'm not one of these people that just like buys the first, you know, shit sandwich somebody sells them. But it's cool. These people really are together, operating as one, and in the spirit of oneness that they don't understand, and that in the spirit of that is not understood in this culture as a rule, and that's why we are where we are today, with, you know, global warming and all of this. And
I do realize what you're saying, sweetie. I also want to get in some information here about. October 2011, the group in Washington, D.C., every day that we come on here, we talk about sending things, you know, to Fulton Street for Occupy Wall Street, and everybody really needs to keep doing that as much as they can. But the folks over at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., really, really need some stuff, and they're looking for things to be shipped to them, like rubber gloves and fabric aprons and hair covering caps, hand sanitizer by the case, rubber mats and scrub brushes and wash buckets and metal scrubbies, and I think it's just general kitchen reusable plates, cups, those kind of you know, kitchen items. They need also fluorescent light systems for their tents, and there's a whole list of what they need, and you can find the list and where to send it at october2011.org/needed-supplies. That's october2011.org/needed-supplies. They need to, just as well as our friends at Occupy Wall Street. And Tricia, do you know of anyone, any new items that they're needing over there at
Liberty Flat? No, I don't. It was things were pretty full when I was down there last. But it's been like a week. They were always needing granola bars and all. But I know that I don't know what's going to happen because a lot of money has been coming in, and I don't know if they're buying things. I know they needed, like, what they really needed were off-site locations for refrigeration and cooking and things like that. It wasn't that they didn't have food. It was the storage issue because the area in Zuccotti Park, Liberty Plaza, is so tight and so small that they can't really – although they need things like trash bags always, where to put it's an issue. And so I don't know what's up with that, especially since everything got disrupted this morning.
Well, and I would say get the industrial strength trash bags that come on those.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're having to clean up and then put it out wherever the garbage truck always stops in the day. You know, because the garbage truck comes every day for everywhere. It's what we do here. And but anyhow, they really have to do that. And but the thing also I think to realize is that some organizations say they are raising money for Occupy Wall Street, and they're not really. You know, there's crooks out there everywhere, and so I would just say be sure to go to OccupyWallST.org and get over there and look at your information from there or the New York General Assembly homepage. And just make sure you're going in the right direction. If people are wanting to donate money, make sure they're donating to Talking by Wall Street.
And actually, if you want to send anything to them, it's going to the Up Store at care of Occupy Wall Street, and it's 118A Fulton Street, number 205. New York, New York, 10038. It's the same address as it has been, I believe.
Yeah, no, that's all the same. They have more restaurants that are making food deliveries, but like they need the gloves, they need the Band-Aids, they need Tampax even. They need everything. Just think more immediate, like Occupy in D.C., they need lights. We don't need lights. We're not allowed to have them. We're not allowed to have tarps and stuff. So, you know, I may be wrong on that, and that's why check at OccupyWallStreet.org.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. Thank you, Trish.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we're signing off for the day?
I'm getting ready to. I just want to remind everybody that tomorrow is on the 15th is a worldwide Occupy Your City, wherever it is, day. Do you know about it?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been talking about it all hour, and but yeah. So, but yeah, I think there's nearly a thousand, I think 951 cities across in 32 countries are signed on for tomorrow for actions tomorrow.
Well, I took a look at OccupyTogether.org before I came on, and there's over 1,700 signups. I don't know where
wow.
they're all at, but I think that's just amazing. Of course, it could be
I think
one
it's wonderful, and it's what you were saying about getting a foothold. Like right now, that's where we're at. Let's get a foothold. That's why, you know, Zuccotti Park may be just a space, but, I mean, it's a strategic location if you're going to, you know, be visible. And we're doing is becoming visible worldwide in every city, like Sandy's been saying, even in, you know, in rural Ohio and places everywhere.
I have to tell you, I've seen a whole lot of things happen in my life. I mean, we all have. I can remember watching the funeral of John Kennedy as a child and the listening to and watching Dr. King on the Mall in D.C. talk, you know, give his I Have a Dream speech. And I can remember being on my dock watching the shuttle Columbia go off and then seeing it explode in the sky. That was wild. And we've seen, you know, the Twin Towers go down. We've seen a lot happen in this country, but I have never, ever witnessed the kind of rising spirit that I'm witnessing now. Can you? Can you, Trish?
Yeah, I can't remember. Nothing's happened like this in America before. I mean, because if, for one thing, like everything you're talking about, they were in their living. We were isolated in our living rooms, glued to the TV.
Right.
And yeah, they were major moments, but they came to us via TV through a lens of a media that was used to be, you know, I mean, I know about Edward, I mean, Good Night and Good Luck and everything, and I mean, it's never been a clean business, you know, yellow journalism, whatever. The point is, it's always come through a filter of the media, and now the media is nothing but corporate propaganda. So we've taken to the streets and circumvented it. And the new media that's capturing the whole thing, people on the internet, citizen journalists on the internet, talking to each
yeah.
other in solidarity, community, and connection, and circumvented this process by which they've been, you know, making us stupid on the TV news.
It's incredible. It's really incredible, and it's like the song says, the revolution will not be televised. You have to get out there. You have to be a part of it. You have to be a part.
And they are. They're willing to get out of their PJs and into the streets. It's beautiful. It is beautiful.
It's also,
and when
it's also about a global consciousness. Coming awake. And in, even though the consciousness, this global consciousness, is manifest as the internet, it is coming awake. And tomorrow, the streets of many major cities should be showing Occupy movement across the boards. It's really quite exciting.
Well, it is. It is. It is. I don't know. I'll start to cry. I'm so excited, you know, but it's like, the corners of time.
I can't tell you how many times I've sat down and teared up. I can't tell you.
Oh, I know. It's like, oh my God, it's like the moment we've been waiting for. I mean, I feel like, you know, things were going okay and then Ronald Reagan got elected and the world, you know, the people who were part of the movement back in the day, I mean, it was so depressing when that man got elected. And people became more and more and more and more isolated and despaired, especially as we lost our jobs and things. And we got, isolation and despair. And when you are in the street with your neighbors, and maybe you don't agree on a lot, but you can agree on it is fucked up and we know where it came from.
And yeah, it's enough is enough. It really is. It's enough is enough, and the time has come. Hey, Trish, thanks so
yes.
much for being with me today. I'm gonna play us off here with the tune that David chose to do the video with
oh,
from
beautiful.
And thanks so much for calling, and I hope to hear from you tomorrow if you can.
All right. Well, and I'll see you at Journey with Roundtree on Facebook in the meantime.
Okay, and I want to remind everybody that this is – thank you, Trish. I want to remind everybody that this show, Hear Me Monsters, has been sponsored by Roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com. And all of the writers there care deeply about being in solidarity with the Occupy movement. And our fearless leader over there is Mr. Crow, or David Williams, and tomorrow is his birthday. So happy birthday, David. If I'm not the one on the air tomorrow, somebody else might be. I don't know, but I just want to wish you a happy birthday, and thank you for sharing your little light with the rest of ours. And go on over there and catch his video of the history of the Occupy movement. We're going to sign off today with Coldplay's Clocks.